At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number 877-973-7425 should you wish to be on the program. So I want to do something in this segment because we've been so focused on Joe Biden and will he or won't he and the selection of J.D. Vance, the attempted assassination, and now Kamala Harris. There's a lot of news out there that has just fallen by the wayside with everything else. We've covered the Secret Service hearing and that sort of stuff, but I gotta talk to you about Ukraine for a moment, and Israel as well. But I want to start with Ukraine. Did you know that the Russian Black Sea Fleet has now fled Crimea? Let's go back in time, way, way back in time. The Russians have considered Crimea theirs since Catherine the Great. If you've seen the brilliant HBO series with Helen Mirren starring as Catherine the Great, Potemkin, he conquered Crimea for her, drove out the Turks, and took over Crimea. And it has basically been the Russian sphere of influence ever since. I have to acknowledge, even while I support Ukraine, I'm sympathetic to the Russians for a couple of reasons. One, they need, as an industrial nation, they need a warm water port. And the Russians have the Baltic, they've got the Arctic, and they've got the Northern Pacific, and it's just not serviceable at parts of the year. Everything ices over. The Crimean water system there has tended to support the Russians. And the Russians, after the Soviet Union fell, Ukraine got its independence, had agreements to allow Crimea to stay with the Russians as far as naval bases. Vladimir Putin, when Obama was in office, invaded and took over and conquered Crimea and began a series of roads and bridges to connect it to Russia proper. Crimea is a peninsula that sticks out into the Black Sea. I'm sympathetic to the Russians wanting Crimea. They have a Black Sea fleet. It's still got to go through the Bosporus. I mean, purportedly, Turkey is our ally. It's always caused problems. The Turks have actually, by treaty, been neutral in control of the Bosporus, but NATO has been able to seal it up quick if they wanted to block the Russian Navy from getting out. But it makes sense to me. But as this war has expanded and they've tried to take over Ukraine, the Ukrainians have decided to go after Crimea. They sabotaged the bridge system that connects Crimea to Russia proper and to Russian territory that's been taken by the Ukrainians. But they've also advanced a drone fleet. And as of today, the Russians have retreated from Crimea. They've pulled their navy out of Crimea and sent it to the east, closer towards Russian territory, because the Ukrainians have been making great progress with the drones. Now, this is different from what you may hear on social media, as I mentioned in the last hour. There's a lot of disinformation and misinformation being spread on social media about the state of play between Russia and Ukraine. And in fact, Elon Musk and David Sachs, his friend, are very pro-Russia. They've been spreading a lot of information that isn't quite true, a lot of it misinformation. Turns out the Ukrainians have been doing really well. And I would have, for the record, talked about the story sooner, except I assumed this might be counter misinformation or counter disinformation. Turns out to be true. And in fact, it's been ongoing for some time, but it's built up over time to now where they have essentially pushed the Russians out of Crimea. Now, that's good because the Russians in the southern portions of Ukraine have been using naval superiority to bomb Odessa and other areas of Ukraine and move people around. So this is actually good news. We should be happy with what has happened. We should be happy with Crimea. We should be happy with this advance. But it's not just there. They've also been able to not just hold the Russians, but on the far west of Ukraine, where the Russians have taken some territory, they've been able to push the Russians back to the east. It's been small territorial gains, but it has been territorial gains. One of the misunderstandings and misconceptions of Donald Trump is that Donald Trump is anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia. That's not actually true. The media has built up this mythology, and a lot of people have bought into this mythology, and it has helped Donald Trump to a degree, if I'm honest about it. Reason being, Donald Trump is able to make kissy face, so to speak, with Putin, for lack of a better term, but also at the same time, he's actually been very cordial to Volodymyr Zelensky and has given, when he was president, arms, munitions, support, and intelligence to Ukraine, and people forget that. So he and Zelensky had a cordial phone call the other day, and he's promising some level of peace. Now, this actually works to all of our advantage in this way. There is a growing presumption that Trump becomes president. Whether he does or not, there's a presumption. And that presumption has caused the Europeans in particular to push the Ukrainians to fight as hard as they can and push through as best they can to get the Russians as far back as they can, because they know that if Trump gets elected, he's going to want to come in and he's going to want a peace deal. He's going to want to shut it down. Y'all, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that's a problem at all. In fact, I think it's probably a good thing that we've gotten to this point. I think it's probably a good thing that the Ukrainians are now, they know they need to push hard, and it's worked. They've gotten the Russian fleet out of Crimea. They've recaptured some territory for the Russians, and the American munitions that the Biden administration has given them have actually been quite effective against the cutting-edge Russian technology. You know, one of my points the whole time about Ukraine has been it allows us a real-world test of how does our technology stack up against the Russians, Chinese, and the Iranians, because the Chinese and the Iranians are helping the Russians, and we're one day probably, God forbid, but probably so, going to have an armed conflict with them. Knowing how our bleeding-edge weaponry stacks up against them actually works. And we're seeing this on the battlefield. We're seeing this in Ukraine. It actually works. Now, we should pivot from Ukraine to Israel. So Netanyahu is here. He will meet with Kamala Harris, contrary to earlier reports. He will not meet with Joe Biden, who still is recovering from COVID, we suspect, we think, we hope. He will address Congress. He's asked for a meeting with Donald Trump. The fact of the matter is the Israelis have rejected through the Knesset an idea of a two-state solution. They do not want to give a Palestinian state recognition, in large part because it's just going to be a terrorist hub. But also, they've made good gains in Rafah. They've made good gains in Gaza, so much so that Hamas is now willing to try to find some peace term with Israel. They're willing now to find some resolution with Israel in ways they otherwise had not been willing to do in the past, in large part because Israel has devastated them. The people of Gaza are starting to turn on Hamas, and they're blaming Hamas more and more. All of the international pressure on Israel that they rejected, it's good they rejected it. They have a plan. They've put their plan in place. Their plan is bearing fruit. Without all the international condemnation or with it, it doesn't matter. Israel's plan is bearing fruit. They're breaking up Hamas. The military intelligence command in Israel and the Israeli Defense Force have concluded that they're never going to completely eradicate it. It's got so much support from the people of Gaza, they're not going to be able to completely eradicate it. But that's okay. It's okay. They're not going to be able to completely eradicate it, but they will do such damage to it that it's going to take them a long time to restock. So Hamas now is starting to entertain Israeli peace terms. I'm afraid for the hostages, to be real honest with you. I don't know that the hostages are going to make it out alive. I hope they do. I do. But I'm not sure they will. The rest of them, I'm not sure they're even alive now. But Israel did what it needed to do. Now, there are a couple of points here to be made. One, on the Israeli front, so many people on the left have been wrong about Israel. So many people on the left have misjudged Israel. They've seen Israel through anti-Semitic lenses. They've miscalculated. Israel did what it needed to do, and it's working. But the same is true for a portion of the right with Ukraine. Ukraine has actually shown it can muster a defense. Contrary to all the hubbub that Vladimir Putin was going to win this war, that's going to bleed them dry, it hasn't come true. American funding has actually helped. European funding has actually helped. And the Ukrainians have been able to actually push back against the Russians. So the left got Israel wrong. The right, alt-right got Ukraine wrong. The elites with an agenda have been wrong. Sort of the reasons I disagree fundamentally with J.D. Vance on Ukraine, where he says it's not his problem. He's America first. It will become our problem because Russia doesn't just want to stop at Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin has made that very clear. He wants to rebuild a sphere of influence, and we have treaty obligations with these countries. Unless we're going to walk away from all of our treaty obligations, which would be a very bad deal for us because they will walk away from us. And it is our arrogance to think we can go alone against China because China wants our dominant position. And, you know, there's a growing number of Americans who want to hand it to them. Say, we're tired. We want to go back to bed. Let China be in control. They're idiots. And I'll tell you why they're idiots. Because they do not have to contemplate a world right now where the exchange rate works against us. You let China take our place, China's going to get the favorable trade deals. Your costs will go up. It's inflationary. China will get the favorable trade terms. Countries will bow to China's will. They'll be the first world trading partners and most favored nation status for China. We'll get worse deals. We'll get worse trade. The value of the dollar won't be worth much in the world. Our word won't be much worth much in the world. You do not want China in charge as much as some of you want to cede control of the world to China. But there's a larger issue on both fronts with Ukraine and Israel, and that is American arms work. American arms work against the Iranians. American arms work against the Russians. And American arms, frankly, work against the Chinese, who are helping the Russians and Hamas. They have kept back their most advanced weaponry, for sure. But what they're throwing at us, we're beating quite ably. The United States is still pretty dominant in the world. We're in a very good position to lead if we just get our head out of our rear end. But part of that also is we're headed towards a fiscal cliff. If we run off the fiscal cliff, we're not going to be able to lead ourselves. We're going to be bankrupt. And neither party in Congress seems interested in the fiscal cliff. There is news on that front as well. We are rapidly approaching the point where we're not going to be able to fund defense, education, any department of government because of our debt service payments on the national debt. And no one in Congress seems willing at this moment to address the issue. Neither Donald Trump nor Joe Biden nor Kamala Harris seem willing to confront the issue, and it's going to blow up in our face pretty soon if we're not careful about it. The national debt is the top national security issue, whether Kamala Harris agrees or not.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello, America. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Remember, Ron DeSantis, absolutely coming. We've confirmed it now. He'll be at the gathering. You are more than welcome to come. All you have to do is text Engage to 33777. If you're a young professional, use the discount code YR for a hefty discount to the conference. Ron DeSantis will be there. We got some surprises as well. We're working out the details so I can reveal those hopefully by the end of the month so I can tell you about them before we have to cut off the ticket purchases. Okay. J.D. Vance has, well, he's being criticized by the left because he says the devil is real. This is yet another remarkable story about the left. Not really about J.D. Vance. The left in this country has become so secular. Like 60 to 70% of Americans say they believe in the devil. And yet the left tells us this is shocking and appalling, and they can't believe that anybody believes in the devil. I will tell you, yeah, I'm one of those nutters who believes Adam and Eve was real, Noah's Ark was real. I believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. But whether you do or not, overwhelmingly, people across faiths believe in the devil. Jewish, Christian, Muslim, they all believe in the devil. All of them do. Like this is not just a by faith belief. It is a cultural belief within society that the devil is real. And you have the progressive left of this country attacking J.D. Vance for stating something that a 70, 75% of not just Americans, but people globally believe in. One of the most pretentious things, atheists tend to be some of the most pretentious people because you've got billions of people on planet Earth who are of faith, and the atheists say, yeah, we're fine. Neil Brennan, comedian, says atheism is the height of white privilege. He knows very few black atheists. There are some, but he knows very few of them. But he knows a lot of upper income, highly educated white people are like, I'll take my chances. I like my latte, my supplements, my spin class. He's not wrong. Atheism actually tends to be a belief of the more highly educated. And of course, they look down and say, well, it's because I'm sophisticated and I'm smart. Actually, no, you're an idiot. I mean, the majority of people throughout the history of this planet believe in evil manifested in the form of the devil, goes by many names, but ultimately is a real thing. And to lecture Americans to say that it's not true and to mock a vice presidential candidate in the United States because you obtained a conversation of his that was supposedly off the record to a group of people at a Federalist Society event, and to say he says the devil is real and you're attacking him for that. And what's so notable about it is that he compared in the same speech Rachel Maddow to Alex Jones. And he said something nice about Alex Jones in the process. Notice there's not a lot of outrage about his Alex Jones remark. The focus is on his belief in the devil, that he must be an idiot. This highly educated, Yale-educated person must be some sort of hick or rube for having this belief in the devil. It's remarkable to me that this is where we are as a society, that we have this level of absurd, condemnatory view about a presidential candidate because of his faith belief. Because of his faith belief in the 21st century. You know, Kamala Harris is terrible on the faith issue, by the way. Kamala Harris has argued in court as Attorney General in California that there's no such thing as a right to freedom of expression in this country, that it's a right to worship, that between the hours of 11 and 12 on a Sunday, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but at all other hours of the day and night for the rest of the week, you can't. That's Kamala Harris's argued belief in court. If you took a class from Hillsdale College, you would know that that's a nonsensical view. They've got a great, great course on the Bill of Rights. It's a great institution to support. It's a 501c3. It will use your tax-deductible donation to advance conservative education causes in this country. They have a great program for elementary and secondary education that they're pushing around the country. It's been embraced by states like Florida, Louisiana, and Arizona for charter schools. A lot of private schools have embraced its classical education curriculum. And then they're a great institution. They're a university in Michigan. They do not take federal aid. They do not take student loan aid. So every student there tends to be given a job. There are scholarships as well available, and you can donate to ensure a kid gets a great education from Hillsdale. So many of you lament the state of education in this country and indoctrination on college campuses. That's not happening at Hillsdale. Kids are getting great educations and then great jobs. Go to ericforhillsdale.com today, ericforhillsdale.com, and you can help Hillsdale College advance their mission to advance education in the United States.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Remember, if you move, you lose track of me wherever. If you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get the show notes. You can get the links, the live stream, the stack of stuff. You can get the daily email. You can get the social media links, whatever you need. Now, as I said in this hour, I want to talk about some of the stuff we haven't been able to talk about because of all the political news. And one of those is it's been a long time since I talked about the program, the California Forever Project outside of San Francisco, Solano County. Oh, okay. So this is, if you haven't heard about the story, let me take you back over a year or two. So this is a county outside of San Francisco. It's a rural county. It's farm community. A lot of crops grown out there. It's not an urban area. It is, it's rural. It's got small cities. And it's a actually pretty gorgeous area. And someone has been buying up a lot of land in Solano County. A lot of land. 20,000 acres of land. Farmers who haven't wanted to sue have been, or haven't wanted to sell, have been sued. A number of farmers realized there were shenanigans and got together and decided they weren't going to sell, and they got sued for collusion. They were bullied. Some of them lost their farms because they couldn't afford the legal bills. They had to sell. A lot of them ultimately settled. A lot of bad blood created, and it turned out along the way that it was a group of progressive tech authoritarians who want to build a utopia north of San Francisco. Venture capitalists, including the co-founders of LinkedIn and Netscape, they want to transform wheat fields 50 miles north of San Francisco into a future city. By the way, as an aside, have you noticed the number of progressives who are perfectly fine turning crops and turning fields into solar panel farms and utopian visions of cities? They're getting rid of the food supply in order to build their utopia, which is going to create a hell on earth. But that's what they want to do. They've given up on San Francisco. They've decided San Francisco, it's impossible to restructure. Tangent. During COVID, remember sitting inside was bad, sitting outside was good. A lot of people set up outdoor little porch areas, a lot of restaurants did. In San Francisco, it became a nightmare for businesses to try to get regulatory approval from the City Planning Commission to be able to do it. And then when they ultimately were able to do it, so many patrons were harassed by so many homeless people, people stopped sitting outside of the restaurants, and a lot of restaurants went out of business. It is a failed city. It's exceedingly difficult to get anything done in San Francisco. Trying to open a new business, have you ever followed, there's some reality TV shows about this, following a small businessman who wants to open a restaurant or business in San Francisco, it is it's Kafkaesque. It's not even Byzantine, it's Kafkaesque. And so these entrepreneurs, they've given up on San Francisco. They decided they were going to buy this land and they were going to build themselves a new city. The problem is that they didn't want to tell anyone. They were afraid that the costs of this would go up. So they tried to keep it quiet. Now, if you're wondering, the southern end of this county has Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. The northern end of the county heads towards Davis and towards Sacramento. Those of you listening on KSTE probably very familiar with this. You've got Dixon, you got Fairfield. You've got some water reserves down there. On the southern end, you've got the Northern Bay area, water. It's just to the east of Napa and Sonoma. It's beautiful farm country. And these tech billionaires, they've been buying up the land, 20,000 acres, bullied people, sued people, pressured people, found people on hard times, created economic conditions, some allege, to induce those farmers to sell their family farms because they want to build this 20,000-acre city with green space, and it's going to be planned, and it's going to be new urbanism and all that. There's this place outside of Atlanta called Serenby. A friend of mine, we were there last week, my son and I, a friend of mine is a builder there. And there are these little hamlets, they call them, and they're little planned neighborhoods. One is, for example, Victorian, and every house has to be Victorian, except they've got this very modernist, like, townhome structure in the middle of it, which is kind of off-putting. They've got a hamlet that is very European, cobblestone, everything compressed together. All of the hamlets, the houses are piled on top of each other, so you have lots of green space, lots of trails. The neighborhood designs the houses. You don't get to come in really and build your house, per se, in some of these hamlets. They build them, and then they sell them. A lot of the bedrooms, most of the bedrooms, they're small. They want to incentivize you not being in your bedroom, but out on your front porch, out in nature. It's all planned. It's all designed. It's new urbanism. They discourage people from having cars. They discourage people from having internal combustion engines. They got neighborhood shops and stuff. It's actually not a bad little walkable area, except I don't want neighbors. I want a yard. You're not allowed to even, like the one neighborhood we looked at, you're not allowed to have grass. It can be natural, but you can't plant it. It's all this, you better like it there. You know the homeowners association is like hell. That's essentially what this group wants to do in Northern California. They want to build something like that. They want to build a city. And they did whatever they could. They didn't earn goodwill. So they got the 20,000 acres that they wanted. They did everything possible to get it. And then they decided they were going to put it on a ballot. And they were going to do a hard sales push for people to accept this new urbanism, this futuristic city, this respite from San Francisco. Now, keep in mind, this is one of the arrogant pretensions, I think, of a lot of billionaires, is a lot of people who live in the country have chosen to live in the country. They don't want to live in a new urban area. They want to live in the country. In fact, that Serenbe place I mentioned, the local government there, in Chattahoochee Hills, which is south of Atlanta, they've now rezoned that area, and your houses have to be like on 6 acres because they were tired of the traffic and the amount of people in that area. It's supposed to be rural. It's supposed to be pasture land. And so now you got to build on larger lots. Serenbe is grandfathered in with the land that it owns, but for additional expansion, it's got to meet that. They call this place in California, California Forever. They put it on the ballot. And now they've taken it off the ballot. They say it was too ambitious of a timeline. What it actually turns out is that a lot of the local people, the farmers, the local community, even younger adults who've moved there, who've wanted to move to the country, they moved out into country land, pasture land, not the cities. They've been fighting this. And the billionaires, they may have the money and they may have the land, but it's one man, one vote. It's one of the geniuses of the system. One man, one vote. They don't have the votes. They've had to take it down. Now, I bring all of this up to say, I know a number of billionaires. I oddly know a significant number of billionaires. I don't know them all, like the Forbes list, but I know several of the people who are on the Forbes list. I know people who they've sold businesses and they're quiet billionaires. And here's the thing I've learned about the people who tend to have been billionaires for a while. They lose touch with reality. It's like in a presidential campaign, you get in a bubble. You become a billionaire. You're surrounded by yes men. And those yes men tell you that you can do whatever you want to do because, after all, you're a billionaire. You want to fly somewhere? You get to fly somewhere. I had a meeting one time with a guy up in Chicago who was a billionaire. Y'all would know his company. You probably wouldn't know him. And I was starting a conservative site, and he had to cancel the meeting. Turns out his favorite chef was opening a restaurant in Hong Kong, and he and his wife decided to go to dinner in Hong Kong. They flew their Gulfstream from Chicago to Hong Kong to have dinner, stayed the night, and came home. We had to reschedule the dinner. I don't deny it. I would love to fly private. I would love to be on a private plane one day so people stop yelling at me at the airport. True story, that happens while I'm peeing. But I don't need to be in a position to have as much money that I can say, okay, restaurant's opening in Hong Kong, let's go tonight. I just want to be able to like tell my family and friends, I got a beach house, go borrow it. Or, hey guys, why don't we take a guy's trip to Las Vegas? I'll pay for everything. fly on the private plane. That's what I want to do. I want to like treat family and friends to this sort of stuff. I don't need to fly to, like Kim Kardashian flew from LA to Paris because of a restaurant or something, all into global warming. At least this billionaire that I know, he couldn't care less about global warming. But billionaires, you get to that level and the world begins to revolve around you, so you think. And so these guys came in. They decided they could buy up the land. They could bully who they needed. They could hire the lawyers to pressure the people they needed. They could do what they needed to buy the land, to build the city, to build their vision. They did it all very hush-hush. They didn't want people to know, well, democracy is obstructing them. We are a republic, not a democracy. You know what I mean. Democracy is obstructing them. One man, one vote. They can't buy the votes. The citizens have rallied against them. So the result now is they're going to have to go through the planning commission in California. They were trying to put it on the ballot so they could avoid the red tape, avoid the bureaucracy, and avoid everything. Now they're going to have to do the environmental studies. Now they're going to have to do all the economic studies. Now they're going to have to do all these other things. And the county's going to do it, and they're going to have to be reimbursed. And I'm sure that they'll pull the strings and do whatever they can to try to make it happen. But the moral of the story here is when the American people come together in a community and decide they want or don't want something, more often than not, they're very successful. And the billionaires in this country and around the world, they think that they can just buy everything, that everything has a price. Some things don't have a price. And your peace of mind and your community and culture very often do not have a price. They're priceless to you. It's one of the backlashes we're seeing in this country, particularly with blue-collar workers and the like, and the working class. They're tired of the upper echelons of the society trying to upend their culture and society and attack them. They're tired of it. And in Northern California, these people who made a conscious decision to not live in Sacramento and not live in San Francisco and to be farmers and to live in rural areas and have to drive 30 minutes to go to a big grocery store, they're not even an hour from the local Whole Foods and they're happy about it. They didn't want the billionaires coming in and buying up the land and building a city where there's farms. So they own all this land now. And they may not be able to build their city. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that you, a group of people with deep pockets, don't get to upend and destroy the culture of the people in a community that you've decided to take over. It's good that the local community gets to stand up and say no. Would there be job opportunities? Yes. Would there be amenities? Yes. Would there be cool things? Yes. But they didn't want that stuff. They wanted their farms. They wanted to see to the horizon and watch the storms roll in. And they'd be denied that with this California Forever vision. And they stood up. Farmers, local merchants, young people who've moved into the area, and they blocked the billionaires. That's not a bad thing at all. Not a bad thing at all. It's also wild, the hubris of the billionaires, to think they could secretly buy up all the land, bully people into selling, and then just decide, by God, we're going to build the city, whether you like it or not. Well, the people didn't like it. And now it's not going to be built. Americans for Prosperity is trying to build a better tomorrow. They're one of the largest grassroots organizations in the country. They're the leading conservative grassroots organization in the country. They would love to have you on their side. All you got to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org. AmericansForProsperity.org. You go to Americans for Prosperity. You can sign up. You can learn to be an activist. You can learn to be a volunteer. You can learn to knock on doors. You can learn to talk to your local legislature. You can learn to go to your city council and advocate for good ideas for free markets and free people. Americans for Prosperity wants to teach you to be a brilliant activist, and they want to educate you on the issues. So you have the actual facts. You have the figures. You're the smartest person in the room, and they can do that if you let them. They've got chapters in almost every state. Find a local chapter in your area. Reach out to them. Say you want to be involved. You want to get educated. You want to learn the issues. You want to be able to be persuasive to your neighbors, to your city council, to your school board, to your state legislature. You want to mobilize people to fight for the right in this country. All you have to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org. AmericansForProsperity.org.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah, cooking. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
I want to end where I began today. I want to say this again, and I'm willing to be wrong. I'm holding myself out there in ways y'all don't have to, and I'm willing to be wrong. But I remain convinced Kamala Harris is a worse candidate than Joe Biden. I actually don't think she's a great candidate. Joe Biden was able to win the presidency, something Kamala Harris failed to do her first time out. Donald Trump has won the presidency. They've both won national campaigns. Kamala Harris never has. In fact, Kamala Harris, when she put together a team, wasn't able to put together a very good team to be able to amount much of anything. But not only that, that's not the only point. In addition to all of that, Kamala Harris has inherited Joe Biden's team, and Joe Biden's team, frankly, was not a good team. A competent team would have never put Joe Biden in the position of doing that debate. Joe Biden's team would have come up with a better messaging than threat to democracy, would have not doubled down on Bidenomics as a term when most people blame Joe Biden for inflation. Joe Biden's team, if they were competent, would not have lectured Americans. They would have found a path around the concerns of Americans through messaging, and they didn't. They didn't even try. They've been arrogant, and I don't think they're a good team. I don't think Kamala Harris is a good candidate. I think Kamala Harris comes across as an odd candidate. I know that the Trump team wants to say she's weird, and she kind of is. Her favorite pizza topping is anchovies. It's very American Psycho. But it's not just that Kamala Harris is weird. She actually is an annoying person. She doesn't come across as likable. She comes across as one of those people who tries to make you like, you know what she comes across? She comes across as dad's new girlfriend who's trying to be popular with the kids when the kids are teenagers. That's how she comes across. That's sexist. I don't care. Any criticism of Kamala Harris is now going to be labeled sexist. Any criticism of Kamala Harris is now going to be labeled racist. But she doesn't come across well. I think Joe Biden has a way of connecting with voters better than Kamala Harris. I actually do. I think Kamala Harris has lived in a cloistered bubble of the coastal elite. She's not relatable to working class voters. She comes across as phony. I think she's a weak candidate. I do. And I think Democrats have a respite right now. And there are going to be a lot of Democrats right now who say, oh, thank goodness. Oh, it's over. We're going to win now. We can win. We've turned the corner. It's the prosecutor versus the felon. We can make this case. And I think in several weeks, you get past the Democratic convention and you're going to have an oh, blankety blank moment. And it wouldn't surprise me if in a month and a half from now, Democrats are wondering what they can do to toss Kamala Harris. You know, the Quinnipiac poll has a Democratic bent. And with the exception of the immediate post-debate poll, which had Trump up by like 5 points, pretty much every Quinnipiac poll has had Joe Biden in the lead. They've got a Democratic bias. And yet the Quinnipiac poll that just came out yesterday has Donald Trump in the lead. In fact, most all the polling has Donald Trump in just as good a position as he was with Joe Biden. And the Democrats are consoling themselves saying, well, she'll have a chance to introduce herself. She'll have a chance to introduce. She's already introduced herself a million times and nobody likes her. I just don't think she's a good candidate. And again, I'm holding myself out there. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think she's a good candidate. And I think in a few weeks, Democrats, once the hangover wears off and they realize that, well, maybe they shouldn't have ditched Joe Biden. It goes back to that Mika Brzezinski. I've played it too many times. I'm not going to play it again, but Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe, last Friday, no less, saying, I think if they ditch Joe Biden, they're going to live to regret it. I think they are. And what's going to happen is if she loses, they'll blame Joe Biden for not getting out sooner, and they'll blame Kamala Harris as well. See you guys tomorrow.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.